Good morning and thank you.
And can you give us an idea of the current situation in the region right now?
Yes, unfortunately the current situation is quite dire. So some of those figures you've just talked about are expected to rise, unfortunately. So we know that as best as we can work out, the official death toll is currently standing at around 750 lives. But in all three countries, that is expected to rise as search and rescue continues, as we reach more of the areas that are still cut off and where people are still trapped. We also know that we're already starting to see the other big concern, which is around waterborne diseases. So diarrhea is outbreaks are occurring already. And unfortunately, that means the potential for cholera and other deadly diseases rises as well.
Right. And how badly has the infrastructure in the region been damaged?
Quite extensively. So some of your listeners may have seen images from the news reports where bridges are washed away, where roads are washed away. So Beira, which is the city in Mozambique, which has been hardest hit, that is that country's fourth largest city. So it's like a regional city. It's, you know, it's where infrastructure is. It also has one of their biggest ports. And that city has had whole areas that have been decimated. And whole infrastructures that have been lost. So houses, schools, hospitals, businesses, so, you know, people that would run a small family business that we might consider, you know, a restaurant or a shop or a hairdressing salon, all of those businesses have also been impacted in some way and their livelihoods and their assets destroyed.
It is horrible to see. I've seen some of the footage and some of the inland flooding is just insane to just see everything submerged. You've mentioned some of the run-on effects of this kind of natural disaster. What are some others in regards to health and sanitation and homes?
So exactly the biggest concern facing the aid workers and the communities at the moment are the expected health concerns. So because of the nature of the flooding, and in some areas the water is still rising, fortunately in some areas it is starting to recede, but the actual waters will take weeks, if not months, to fully recede in some areas. And what that means is there are contaminated water sources, so people will have even less access to safe water, which is critical when you've got such a large-scale disaster and where you have people converging into very crowded places as well. So Oxfam and a number of the other agencies are really focusing on that initial phase of the water safety and making sure that people have access to it, to safe water. So we've already started distributing water purification equipment. We've started working with those that are already in the displaced areas. So some people are converging in schools. Some people are being brought into more formal displacement areas. So really making sure that as quickly as possible we can find the resources that we need to make sure that people are able to at least have safe water. But the impacts of this kind of magnitude will be seen for months and years. So you mentioned that I've had previous experience working in these countries, and a lot of what I'm seeing is feels very much like deja vu in terms of some of the images, because livelihoods have been lost. People's crops have been washed away. Their livestock has been washed away. Their businesses have been destroyed. So in terms of what it takes to build that back, it's going to be a long journey for a lot of people, unfortunately. Even past this initial stage, once the floodwaters do recede, it's when people really need the support as well to keep making sure they can rebuild their lives and their livelihoods.
Right. And how is responding to previous flooding in the same region earlier, as you mentioned, you know, in the year 2000, how has that kind of informed what Oxfam is doing now to help?
I think it's informed not just Oxfam, but indeed the whole community. And since that time, there's been a lot of work done with local communities, with local authorities around disaster preparedness, and indeed how communities are working and supporting themselves. But we see that when something is of this magnitude, that a lot of that effort really only gets you so far, and you do need support and assistance to help that rebuilding. Part of the problem at the moment is just the logistical challenges of actually reaching people that are still cut off. And even when we are able to reach some of those people and take them to safety, then to be able to get the extent of the supplies in. So, for example, normally in a situation like this, you would need tons and tons and tons of additional aid materials, whether or not that be food supplies, whether or not that be water purification equipment, whether or not that be reconstruction and building supplies or tents and tarpaulins and things of that nature. Mm. But just getting those supplies into some of these communities at the moment is proving very difficult because the roads are washed away, the bridges are washed away. A lot of things will be shipped in on small barges or small boats that can only carry so much as well. So I think it's very important that we still focus on this initial phase, that we make sure that we are getting aid as quickly to those communities as we possibly can, and then continue to learn the lessons around how the how coordination happens between agencies, how communities themselves are the first responders, and how they know what their needs are, and that we really need to listen to them as we support them through the next stages as well.
Mm, and it is great work you are doing. And how can Australians help in getting aid to cyclone victims?
I think the best way that if Australians are able to is to financially support. So Oxfam is accepting donations for this appeal, and people can donate through our website, oxfam.org.au. So in these kinds of situations, if people are in a financial position to support, that is the best way to support, because that money will then go to the aid agencies and the community organisations that are working on the ground and that have the networks to distribute any materials.
Perfect. Well, Anthea, thank you so much for your time, and it's great work you're doing in the region to help. Thank you.